Good morning. My name is Anne McLeod. Can everyone hear me? Good. Our women's meditation group has spent a large part of the last year studying Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now. We wanted to share with you some of the things we have experienced as a result of this study. While a great deal of the material we used for this worship service came from other sources, nevertheless, Tolle's thinking underlies what we are presenting today. We found his book to be fascinating, enlightening, and quite exciting. At the outset, I want to tell you that this homily is my truth at this particular time. I'm just presenting it here for your consideration. My message here is whether we call ourselves humanists or mystics, we need to concentrate not on our differences, but on what we have in common. The title of this homily is Good News Worth Shouting About, and you may well ask, well, what is the good news anyway? This was the title of a speech given by Bill Huff to the Canadian Unitarian Council in 1995. Reverend Huff briefly described the works of quantum physicists that have profound implications for all of us in our worldview. 60 or 70 years ago, physicists began to learn ways of studying matter and energy at the subatomic level. So you see, quantum mechanics really isn't very new. It's been around for a while. Quantum refers to the measurement of the very smallest subatomic particles. For example, a quantum of light is a photon, and a quantum of electricity is an electron. The physicists discovered that when they observed subatomic particles, Newtonian physics, which was what most of us learned in school, it just didn't work. The subatomic particles didn't behave the way Newtonian physics predicted they would behave. So in order to explain the behavior of subatomic particles, a whole new theory had to be developed. As I said, Bill Huff described the profound implications of quantum theory. Here is some of what he said. More and more, three ideas are dominating the frontiers of speculative cosmology. First, everything is connected to everything else. Second, matter is a manifestation of what might be called consciousness or spirit. Matter is a type or a manifestation of consciousness or spirit. And his third comment, there is a direct and reciprocal connection between the cosmic consciousness and the consciousness of sentient beings. Okay, now, why would physicists say these things that seem to defy the rules of common sense? Well, in 1964, a European physicist named J.S. Bell developed a theorem that shook the world. Gary Zukav described the theorem in his famous book called The Dancing Wu Li Masters, which is a sort of a quantum physics for dummies. Zukav says, Bell's theorem is a mathematical construct which, as such, is indecipherable to the non-mathematician. Its implications, however, could affect profoundly our worldview. Some physicists are convinced that it is the most important single work, perhaps in the history of physics. One of the implications of Bell's theorem is that, at a deep and fundamental level, the separate parts of the universe are connected in an intimate and immediate way. Now, Eckhart Tolle, he describes enlightenment as follows. The word enlightenment conjures up the idea of some superhuman accomplishment. But it is simply your natural state of felt oneness with being. It is a state of connectedness with something immeasurable and indestructible, something that paradoxically is essentially you and yet is much greater than you. In other words, Bell's theorem and the experience of enlightenment are very compatible. Every time we meet, the women in our group meditate. Our purpose is to still or at least slow down our minds. Once in a while, we can perhaps experience a fleeting glimpse of that connectedness that Tolle speaks of. We're all such slaves to our egos, wrapped up in our need to be safe, to be important, to be right, and to be separate. We think that individual autonomy is so important, especially here in the Western world. Our egos encourage us to believe that we're separate and profoundly different from each other. But in fact, we're all part of the whole, the infinite. So, the first idea that Reverend Huff described has been found by quantum physicists to fit into the theory of quantum mechanics. Any of us can think of dozens of examples of the interconnectedness of nature. For example, as Audrey told us about today, trees and also plankton in the oceans change carbon dioxide into oxygen, to which we animals depend. However, unfortunately, we in Western culture particularly have so separated ourselves from our natural environment that we've lost touch with the reality of our interconnectedness. Eckhart Tolle says, "The greatest obstacle to experiencing the reality of your connectedness is identification with your mind, which causes thought to become compulsive." He's talking about our egos. He goes on, "Not to be able to stop thinking is a dreadful affliction. But we don't realize this because everybody's suffering from it, so it's considered as normal. This incessant mental noise prevents you from finding that realm of inner stillness that is inseparable from being." And he means by being the experience of connectedness. He goes on to say, "You then forget the essential fact that underneath the level of physical appearances and separate forms, you are one with all that is. The mind is a superb instrument if used rightly, but you don't usually use it at all. It uses you. And this is the disease. You believe that you are your mind. This is a delusion. The instrument, or the mind, has taken over. It's almost as if you were possessed without knowing it, and so you take the possessing entity, the thinker, to be yourself. The beginning of freedom is the realization that you are not the possessing entity, the thinker. Knowing this enables you to observe that entity. The moment you start watching the thinker, that one in your head, a higher level of consciousness becomes activated. You then begin to realize that there's a vast realm of intelligence beyond thought, that thought is only a tiny aspect of that intelligence. The second idea that Bill Huff listed was matter is a manifestation of consciousness or spirit. A biologist named Bruce Lipton had a radical change in his view of biology after reading a book on quantum physics. He was on his way on a flight somewhere, a long flight, and he didn't have any reading material, and he happened to notice a book on quantum physics in the airport bookstore, so he bought it. Reading that book changed his whole view of biology and gave him a spiritual insight as well. In his book entitled The Biology of Belief, Lipton says, "The latest science leads us to a worldview not unlike that held by the earliest civilizations, in which every material object in nature was thought to possess invisible energy. This is the world of quantum physics, in which the matter and energy are completely entangled. Never have we needed the insights of such a worldview more. When science turned away from spirit, its mission dramatically changed. Instead of trying to understand the natural order so that human beings can live in harmony with that order, modern science embarked on a goal of control and domination of nature. The technology that has resulted from pursuing this philosophy has brought human civilization to the brink of spontaneous combustion by disrupting the web of nature, or, as our seventh principle says, the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part." Quantum physicists tell us that at the subatomic level, matter consists of particles or waves. Their behavior is mysterious, and they are too small to be observed directly. All scientists can do is determine the probability that they will behave in a particular way, that is, as a particle or as a wave. Different forms of these manifestations of spirit, in other words, matter, vibrate at different speeds. Gary Zukav says, "If there is any stuff of the universe, it is pure energy. But subatomic particles are not made of energy, they are energy." So what Zukav is saying is that all matter is pure energy at the subatomic level. Well, since everything is energy along with the infinite, then we, the rocks, the trees, the universe, are all manifestations of the infinite. The third idea that Reverend Huff described is that there is a direct and reciprocal connection between cosmic consciousness and the consciousness of sentient beings. That's us he's talking about, between us and God, between us and the cosmic, all that is, or whatever it is you want to choose to call it. Another implication of Bell's theorem deals with this connection. Gary Zukav describes it this way: "What happens here is intimately and immediately connected to what happens elsewhere in the universe. One is led to a new notion of unbroken wholeness, which denies the classical idea of analyzability of the world into separately and independently existent parts." My interpretation of what he's saying is that everything is a part of the whole. And so, at least from this point of view, dividing the world into small pieces in order to understand it is inadequate, because everything is connected to and influenced by everything else. In fact, this excerpt is the final chapter of his book and is entitled The End of Science. I presume he means the end of science as it has been studied in the past. Science was being forced to change its point of view. Let's quote Bill Huff again. He is describing a way to illustrate humanity's relationship to God. Imagine a vast ocean, formless, infinite, eternal. Mighty surges of energy stir the depths and sweep the surface of this cosmic ocean, expelling myriad drops of water, each unique, finite, and transitory. The ocean, being infinite, is all there is. That being the case, it can't be described as matter or mind, since the infinite includes both. We call this ocean by many names: God, Tao, Buddha, cosmic consciousness, the infinite. But separate as they are, finite and unique, although distinct, the transitory droplets of water are also a part of the infinite ocean. But separate as they are, infinite and unique, we call them life, matter, stuff, existence. As finite fragments of the infinite whole, the droplets cannot comprehend the whole except upon enlightenment. Still, there is longing, intuition, and finally returning. That's what we would call death. Okay, let's go back to where we were when we started this homily. What is the good news worth shouting about? Joseph Campbell said, "The old gods are dead or dying, and people everywhere are searching, asking, what is the new mythology to be, the mythology of this unified earth as one harmonious being?" Bill Huff questions whether we recognize the opportunity this gives us as Unitarian Universalists. So what can we contribute? What good news do we have to shout about? Well, our seventh principle urges us to respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. The first source of our living tradition is direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed by all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold life. And our fifth source is humanist teachings that counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against idolatries of mind and spirit. How different these principles and sources are from what most religions offer. So let us get back, let us not get stuck in self-admiration of our limited rational thinking processes. And let us not make the mistake of having beliefs that are purely emotional without any logic or experience to them. Rather, let us unite and travel down the middle of the road together. Let's spread the transformative message of such people as Eckhart Tolle and Bill Huff. And let us also listen to the message of the quantum theorists. People need these messages, and our Unitarian heritage is uniquely suited to sharing their messages with the world.